in order to understand the foundation of Eiris HaTorah, Torah Lishma, and to appreciate. When I say the word appreciate, I don't mean the way that someone says you have to appreciate this bottle of vodka, to appreciate this kishke, which is also a madrega. But to be'emes, to have a connection to. The whole meaning of Torah in our lives, which is Rav Kook is giving over to us in Eiris HaTorah. The study of Torah and a life of Torah. In order to do that, it's impossible without covering some basic work in Nefesh HaChaim and Tanya. Since Rav Kook's objective is not to make peace between those two worlds of the Nefesh HaChaim and Baal HaTanya, but to show that, as always, in the Pnimius and the Pnimius, there was always peace, and the Pnimius and Pnimius, there will be peace, and in between there are misunderstandings, and there's learning in a way that's not deep and that's not real. So, uncharacteristically, we haven't been learning inside Rav Kook's Sefer for the past couple of weeks, and we need a little bit more time, another 2 weeks or so, two more, to be able to have a basic understanding of this issue of Torah Lishma, and how Torah Lishma is not that, God forbid, which divides between Jews, but it brings Jews together, which is Rav Kook sought. And in everything that he did, in every single word that he spoke, it was only with that tremendous, tremendous longing to bring Jews together, and particularly the world of the Vilna Gaon, the world of the Baal Shem Tov, which, as we spoke about, was those two worlds were coursing in the veins, in his arteries. That was his life. Of course, the Misnagdim claimed that he was really a big Misnagid, and he just tried to placate the Hasidim. And the Hasidim say he was a fiery chassid, and he only had to give in, because he was afraid of the Litvaks, and so on. And that, we could just imagine Rav Kook laughing at all of that, and he was higher than all of that. So already here, we're on the photostatic page, on the first page, we're in Shar Dalet, Perek Dalet, only learning a little bit of Nefesh HaChaim, but just the minimal amount that we need. We need to learn the entire Shar Dalet, and whoever's able to, and has time maybe over Yontif or something to learn the entire Shar Dalet, it would certainly be more than Kedai. But we're just trying a little bit to get an understanding of where Rav Kook is coming from and where he's trying to take us to. So on that first photo that it pays on the left hand side, Perek Dalet, around halfway, a little bit more than halfway in the first piece of Perek Dalet, Rav Chaim Volozhin is explaining here that of course, there's no question. After having told us that Torah Lishma means L'shem, Torah Lishma means L'shem HaTorah, and not L'shem Dveikus. And the objective and the goal of Talmud Torah is not Dveikus B'Hashem. It's not attachment to Hashem. But Torah itself and the understanding of Torah is the objective of Talmud Torah. After having said that, Reb Chaim says, of course, Vadai, and I said, of course, he says, Vadai, that's how he begins the fourth parak that we learned last week. Vadai, there's no question, the Yev Shalom Shein Tzarech Lini Nesek Tar Shum Toya Machshava Yez Hashem Chalilu. He says, certainly, I'm not saying, God forbid, that one needn't be in a pure state of mind And in a state of Yiras Shemayim, a fear of God, in order to learn Torah, he's on Achas V'Shom, not saying that. I'm not saying that. And we have to remember, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was talking about Tzadik Yisoid Olam, Mamish. He's not talking about such a thing. Certainly, a prerequisite to learning Torah is to be in that pure state of mind, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yiras Shemayim, there's no question. And in this part, in the fourth parrot, he himself brings down, reminds us of different Mamari Chazal that emphasize that requirement to be in the proper state of mind and the proper state of Avaida when entering into a piece of Torah, when learning. It's a precondition, and it's understood. And in that respect, Rav Chaim also agreed with the Chassidim that there needs to be more emphasis on the Avaida. Besides what we spoke about last week in Kima Mitzvahs, where he agreed wholeheartedly that the Tachlis, remember last week, that the Tachlis of Mitzvahs is Dveikus B'Hashem, 100%. And that something has been lost in among Jews in that regard, Maskim. And in that respect, Rabbi Chaim saw something very, very positive and holy in Chassidus. But there was fear of what would the focus of the person sitting and learning while he was learning, what would become of that? And what effect, what impact could that possibly have on Torah? It was more of a question of Rabbi Chaim's fear of the misunderstanding of the teachings of Chassidus as opposed to what Chassidus really is. That's what we're going to see in the end. I told you many times over the years, the Maisa from, I think just a few months ago, so forgive me for being repetitious, but it brings out the point that Rabbi Yitzchak Vorkin, you know, was the sweetest tzaddik. And there was the Maisa of Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka came to a certain village, and there was a woman there whose husband had left her. You remember the Maisa? There's a woman whose husband had left her many years before. He left her for Naguna by herself without a get. Didn't give her a get, and she was like this, sitting for all the years. And apparently, Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka looked exactly like her husband. So Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka used to dress also very posh, like a plain person. And he came into the town there, and the woman happened to be walking there, and she sees that's her husband. She runs over there, she starts to beat him up, Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. She starts with a big, whatever, pounding him over the head, and you rush, you maneuver, you left me with the children, you're no good. So the people over there, they see this Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, she's crazy. Is the tzaddik hador of the generation, and the lady's good. So the people run over there and they pull her away. Do you know who this is? She says, I know who it is. The Rosh, he left me, whatever, 10 years ago. She says, no, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. That's the biggest Rebbe in the world. Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. So you have to understand how she felt. So she went crying over there. to beg Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka for Mechila, Rabbi, Heiliger, I'm so sorry. So Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka said, no, what you did, you should know what you did was 100% right. You were 100% right. You just got the wrong guy. You're 100% right. Your husband left you as a Rosh Marusha, and he left you with his children, and he did that to you, and he deserves to get patched. There's no question. I said, it's not me. My name is Yitzchak from Vorka. I'm not your husband. So it's the same thing when it comes to these differences between these worlds. It's what people think on the street, what people say in the yeshivas, there's reason. If the chassidim would be saying that, there would be reason to be it. That would be cause for concern. The problem is they got the wrong guys. They got the wrong guys. And the same thing what the chassidim say about the tzaddikim from the misnagdim. It's just, if that would be taki true, I remember there was once a chassid shiid, a big chassid shiid that I was friendly with, and he told me, he said that he mentioned the name of a world famous Rosh Hashiva who's no longer alive, and he said that I know for a fact that this Rosh Hashiva doesn't daven. I said, what are you crazy? What are you talking about? He goes, what do you mean he doesn't? He doesn't daven. He goes, he stands there, he doesn't daven. I said, how do you mean you know that for a fact? You went over there, you looked at it, and he doesn't daven. He says, everybody knows he doesn't daven. He doesn't daven. He says, no, he doesn't have any emunah. He doesn't.
I said, he's saying that on the Rosh Hashiva, and Adam Gorla Tzadik, he was Mesa Nefesh for Yiddishkeit, that he doesn't daven. He says, no, he doesn't daven. He's a kaifer, doesn't believe in Hashem, is not. He knows how to learn, he's smart, that's it. And the Mamish believed it. So if that would be true, that would be terrible. That would be the, you know, such a thing. And to be upset, he's right for being upset. So he is the wrong person. That Rosh Hashiva was a Tzadik. The wrong person. That's all the machlokes and like that. It's like they're with husband and wife too, 90% of the time. Not 100%. There's sometimes something. But most of the time, it's that you have this talk of something to be upset about, so you got the wrong person. It's just, that's not me. So Rabbi Chaim is masking. He's masking. He agrees that there needs to be more Yerushalayim, there needs to be more pnimis and more dveikus. It boiled down to the question of whether that was going to be misused and misunderstood by the Hamoin An. His argument wasn't even against the Tanya himself. And we know that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin had derech eretz for the tzaddikim. And I told you that he refused to sign any letters. The concern was, where was this going to go? And he was right. There was a danger in that. There was a danger. And there were very extreme statements that were coming out from groups of Hasidim that caused grave concern, rightfully so. But we'll see that it's not in the pnimis that there's a machlokes. So he continues that Kamei Shomer Rabbi Senzer Chayon Levracha Amar Yishlokes Ma'idechsiv V'Haya Emunas Itecha. If you want to find it, it's right where it's the parentheses where it says Shabbos Lamed Aleph. First page of the photostat. The first column on the left side, where it says Shabbos Lamed Aleph in parentheses. So Chazal say, Reish Lakish says, it says in Pasuk V'Haya Emunas Itecha. The Gemara says Emunas is a say this one. The Gemara darshens the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Each part of the Pasuk is hinting to a different section of the six sections of Torah Shabbat Peh of the Shisha Sidra Mishnah. And Emunas Itecha, the faithful, or the faith of the times, Emunas Itecha, says Emuna is Seid Zroin. So Chazal, Reish Lakish says that Emuna, faith, corresponds to Seid Zroin, to that section of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the mission that's called Seid Zroin, that deals, begins with Brachis, and then deals with all the halachas of Eretz Yisrael, and Mrs. Atulias Baris, and so on. Truma, Peyu, and so on. Choshev Shom B'zeh Pasuk Kol HaShas. All of the six sections of the Mishnah are understood in that Pasuk. U'Mesayim Ba'afilo Hachi Yiras Hashem Hi Oitzara. Afilo Hachi meaning, even if a person has mastered all of Torah, he's an expert in all of Torah, he's proficient in all of Torah. The end of the pasuk says, "Yiras Hashem hi oitzaro," that fear of God is the oitzer of the person. What's the oitzer? Oitzer means literally a treasure, but oitzaro really means here a treasure chest, a box, or something where you keep that which is most precious and most valuable. That's called an oitzer. Dima kosev. Rabbi Chaim explains, Dima Kosev is Atayra L'Rayv Tvuas. We see from that pasuk, and the way the Gemara learns that pasuk, that the Torah is compared to the different aspects of agricultural life. And we all hope over the course of our lives to reap a great harvest. Rayv Tvuas B'Kayach Shor, that we should have. The Torah is compared to grain, to bread, it's our sustenance, it's our life. And we all hope for ourselves and our children that they should be able to reap tremendous amount of, bring in a beautiful crop, a harvest from that world of Torah. Rav Tuas. But the condition for that, the Pasuk tells us, and this is how the Gemara understands, is Vahayira, La'oitza ha-machzik by ha-main Tuas ha-mishtamim b'soichai. If there's a tremendous produce, if the field reaps a tremendous amount, and it was a very good year, but you don't have the kalim to put it into, then it gets spoiled. it gets ruined. It rots. So Chazal understood that all of the understanding that a person has in Shas, all of his greatness in Torah, all of the tvuas, all of the harvest, that he brings in tons and tons of Torah. But if he doesn't have an oitzah to put it into, to hold it, to guard it, to preserve it, then it gets ruined. It could be very expensive grapes and a very beautiful crop. If it's not going to be preserved in the right kind of a barrel or however they do that, if it's not done the right way, then it's nothing. It spoils us. It gets ruined. Not only is it not delicious, but it becomes chalila terrible, terrible. What Chazal say about it, about Talmidei Chachamim that are not God-fearing people? It's not stam like a regular yid. A Talmid Chacham Sheparish, a Talmid Chacham that went away from Yerushalayim is worse than a regular Jew. A regular Jew is holy and good. A Talmid Chacham who learned a lot and he's not keeping up with his Yerushalayim, it's spoiled. It stinks. And it's with all kinds of fancy chazals too, and it talks and learning. But it smells. That's what Rabbi Chaim says. We all agree on that. He says, "Vahiyiras the oitzah machzik by hamayin tvuos mishtamer b'soichai." Yiras Hashem he oitzaro, it says in pasuk. After all of the different parts of Shas, after all of Torah, which is compared to the harvest, if you don't have Yiras Hashem, you don't have an oitzah. If you don't have Yiras Shemayim, if you're not God fearing, you don't have anything to keep your Torah in. It spoils. It gets ruined. It can make you into a worse person. It could be a sam misachas shom. Could be something that makes you into a worse person than if you wouldn't have learned at all. As odd as it sounds. Which we've seen that you have very often, that it was always by many Pasha Yidden, by Hamoin Amcha Beis Yisrael, by Erlich HaTayri Yidden, that had Yerushalayim, that they lived good, honest, beautiful lives, even though they didn't know much. They said Tillim, and they learned the Luchak Yisrael, and they learned that they Mavis Sedra, and they learned the Lumishnais, and Yaakov, and they were holy Jews. And they, after 120, the Akash Baruch Hu greeted them with the Tufim and Mechailis. They were greeted with great fanfare. And you have other scholars and brilliant people that they're crooked. The whole life is crum. What's the Tchilik? Why would that be? The Tavit says, Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, he oitzaru. Yiras Hashem is the treasure chest into which you pour all of the beautiful, precious jewels of learning, of Yiddishkeit, into Yiras Hashem. She Yiras Hashem hi ha'oitza l'chachm satera kadoisha. B'chaim says, we all agree on that. That Yiras Hashem is the oitza into which you put the chachm satera has to be placed into that box, into that package of a Jew who's Yirei Shemayim, who's God-fearing. Shal yoda t'skayim eitzel ha'odam. Only through Yiras Hashem will the Torah last. Only will it last. Let's try to cover the material. There's a lot to do. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's try to get through it. only through Yiras Shemayim can it last? Can it be preserved? V'im loy heichin loy ha'odam t'chil oitzer ha'yira. And if a person does not work on this oitzer ha'yira, if he does not work on his Yiras Shemayim, which that even in the world of the Misnagdim, of course, would lead to the Muslim movement, to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta getting up and screaming, Rabbi Yisrael, Yiras Hashem, Yiras Hashem is the holy name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, Yiras Shemayim. Im loy hechin adam tchila oitzer yir, harei roiv tvuos haTorah kemunach al pnei hasod lemirmas regel hasher v'chamor chas v'shalom. What happens if you don't take the wheat, or whatever it is, that stuff, and you don't put it into the right kind of a place to preserve it, then the animals are going to stomp on it. The shor and the chamor, the ox and the donkey are going to go stomping around on it. What's the ox and the donkey? The ox and the donkey is, Reb Tzadok talks about this, That's hinting to Esav and to Yishmael. B'chor Shorei Hadar Loi is Yosef HaTzadik, who's the anti-Esav. The Chamor is, V'atishulacham Poyim HaChamor is Yitzchak Avinu, who's anti-Yishmael. Yishmael is called the donkey, the Chamor. Shulacham Poyim HaChamor, Amadoyim HaChamor. The Yishmaelim are compared to donkeys. If you don't Reb Chaim says that if you don't have your Shemayim, you could learn tons of Torah. And just like the grain or the wheat is left out on the field and you didn't put it into the right thing, then what happens? The animals stomp, jay around and walk on it and mess it up and make schmutz and filth over there. That's what's going to happen to your Torah. That's what Esav and Yishmael are going to do to the Torah of a Jew who doesn't fill his life with your Shemayim. Could be smart, could be a genius. Could write all kinds of fancy books. It could be a professor of Talmud, a professor of Jewish mysticism, and what? All Esav Yishmael. Stamp on it. It's all brought into the world of Tuma. He's referring to a Gemara. He's hinting to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah when he says this, in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, which uses this description of the Yetzer Hara getting the best of that person who learns Torah, but he learns Torah without Yiras Shamayim. He ends up being in the world of Esav and Yishmael, except he's able to say all kinds of fancy chazals. He knows chazals, he knows how to say things in learning. It's like we were talking about in the Tanya on Monday, right? That klipa, that the Tanya came, that klipa of those letters, Taf Nun Yud Aleph, to give us the strength to overcome the klipa of Tanya, that klipa that's against Pnimius HaTorah and your Shemayim and so on. It's the same thing. If you learn Torah and not believe in God. Chas HaSholem, he says, She'enimus Kehemus has L'Klal. She'enimus Kehemus, and such Torah doesn't stay by a person at all. It doesn't last. It doesn't change your life. You might know a lot, but as we're learning in the Bilvavia Mesil Shasharm on Thursdays, you don't remember it. And it doesn't have to do with remembering it. You can be a very smart person, has a photographic memory. But the fact that you remember something doesn't mean that it affects you. There was a Yid I knew in Queens, and you can never judge people if they went through the Holocaust. That's why it's you have to be always be careful of that. But this Yid, he learned by some of the biggest gedolim in Poland before the war. And I would meet him. He had this thing like, and he would see a frum person. He wanted to talk Torah, but he didn't even put on a yarmulke. He was a little bald guy. This is big. He was already, no, he wasn't young already, a long time ago, I'm sure. And now it's already past 120. So, you know, in those days, there weren't so many fun people walking around everywhere. So when he'd see Yeshiva Bacher, so I would meet him in the street in a store. So he'd pull me over. He says, Moshe, what are you learning? So I'd say what I'm learning. So he would start to rattle off every word of Tosfos by heart, without a yarmulke. He would start to say, oh, there's machlokes over here, the Rambam and Ravid, what did you hear about this machlokes? He started telling me how pshat machlokes. And you know, I was 14, 15 years old, whatever. I asked him, you love Torah? He says, what do you mean, Torah? Torah. He starts to say then like Chazal's about Torah and stuff. So I said, you're not showing mitzvahs. Like I, you know, I said, you're not showing mitzvahs. Uh-huh. So why don't you, if you love Torah so much, so he said, then he would say something like, whatever, like, you know, I had it with that, you don't understand, leave me alone, whatever, and he wanted to just talk and learning. Without a yarmulke. He didn't put his hand, he just was talking and learning. And he knew it. He knew everything by heart. Anything that you were learning, he knew by heart. And the Nazis in Machshom didn't knock that out of his head. But out of his heart, something happened. Which I'm sure that he was Chayz B'Tshuva or whatever before he was Nifta, I'm sure. But there's such a thing. That's different because of what he went through. That's something else. But there's such a thing that connection's not made. See, here he remembered by heart. He remembered by heart everything he ever learned as a kid, but he didn't remember the Bari Olam, or it was knocked out. Whatever, I'm not Chas HaShem. But he didn't remember the Bari Olam. That's what we're learning about in the Mesil Sashan. That's why the Ramchal writes the Sefer. He says, "I'm not telling you anything new, but you forgot. I'm telling you everything you know. So there's such a thing that you know something, but it doesn't change you. It doesn't help you." To become a greater person. What's the missing ingredient? Yiras Hashem, he Oitzer. Yiras Hashem is the Oitzer. Roshid Yiras Shemayim, he Oitzer. Without Yiras Shemayim, the Torah is not Miskayim. You're not saying, not Hashem saying a tain in a Jew that he lost his Yiras Shemayim, that's God forbid. But there's such a thing. And then it becomes left on the ground, and the Esav and Yishmael, the Shor and the Chamor go and stomp on it. V'chein Omra Azeh Akosiv at the Mitzah of Yishayin Medrash Halachas V'agadis. We find other things like this. It says in the Medrash, a person who learns Medrash Halachas V'agadis, he's learning everything. V'im ein b'yeres chet, ein b'yodah klum. And if he doesn't have fear of sin, ein b'yodah klum. He has nothing. What do you mean? He learned everything. He knows everything. Chazal say, he has nothing. That's not the tachlis of Torah. Ein b'yodah klum, he has nothing. Marshall Alderman brings a marshal there. Yeshi elef midas satur. Amo yeshtecha apdekaris. And the Medrash brings the same thing. A person says, I have 1,000 measures of wheat. It was a gewaldig season, and he brought in tons of stuff from the field. So they asked him, yeah, but do you have a silo? Do you have baskets and a place to put all of this? What are you going to do with all of this? How are you going to keep it? It's the same marshal. Without emuna, without your shemayim, There's no way to keep it. There's no way to preserve it. There's no way that it could change you, and that it could make a difference in your life. In Perek Vav, again, this is just, we don't have time. And Hay brings more chazals like this. Now it goes into Perek Vav on the page in front of you. Lezois ha'emes. Have to watch every word very carefully here. These are mamish historic words because it's the basis of all that's taking place, or what's supposed to be taking place in the yeshivas. This is the truth, and this is the true path. Asher bazeh bachar hu yizbarach shemoy, that Hashem Yizbarach has chosen. Shebuchol eiz sheyachin ha'odem atzmai lilmoyt. This is the way to learn Torah. Whenever a Jew sits down to learn Torah, he should pause, this yashiv, collect his thoughts before kaidim shiaschul, before you learn. I'll call upon him zman muat, at least for a little amount of time. The Yiras Hashem tohayra b'taharis alayv, to strengthen, to think about, to focus, and to meditate upon Yiras Hashem Tahira, on pure Yiras Hashem, the Taharis Aleva, the pureness of heart. Listen to what he says. L'hesvadois al chatosai, to confess your sins. This is before you open the Gemara. L'hesvadois al chatosai, the umke deliba, from the depths of your heart. It's not a chassidic thing. It's Reb Chaim V'Lozhin. No one can accuse Reb Chaim V'Lozhin of being... This is for all the yeshivas. This is the program. Yiras Hashem Tahir b'taharis halev l'zvadeis al chatosim ha'umke deliba, to confess one's sins ha'umke deliba, the depths of one's heart, k'deisha teitar also k'deisha u'tahir, so that the Torah that he's about to learn should be holy and pure. It should reach the place that it's supposed to reach. It should be holy and pure. Which Rabbi Chaim, we're going to see, teaches us, and he already said earlier, that brings to a tikkun that fixes all kinds of worlds. Olamus are repaired. The whole universe is sewn together because of this Torah learning. There's nothing that brings together all the olamus that fixes all of creation like learning Torah. But the t'nai is that it has to be, the Torah has to be, the Kedusha b'tahara. So when do you do that? So Rabbi Chaim says, before you learn, you prepare yourself. It takes just a moment or two. Yiras Hashem Tahir b'taharis alev. It means to chazur a few psukim or something from a sefer that what to think about and isvadachan to confess one. Simukum b'taliv kadesh teitar also kadesh b'tahir. Now listen carefully to look how careful he is with his words. So he used the word dveikus, so we're all getting excited. Oh, this is going to be the Baal Shem Tov now. No. You should have in mind before you start learning, to become dovuk, he doesn't say to God. It doesn't say. You should have in mind in your learning, when you're learning, you should have in mind, he doesn't say to Lizdabik, bekainai, but the one who created you. That's what it's saying in the Chassidus Sefer. First he says, listen, Lizdabek bilimudai bai betayra, and then he says, bai bakadosh baruch. Now, we have to be very careful. Lizdabek bilimudai bai betayra, he's not saying that you should be thinking of God when you're learning. Because that's what he was afraid of. Then you won't focus on what you're learning. You won't become great in learning. And then you can just learn one Mishnah your whole life. It was just God. He says, no. Yikavin lizdabik bilimudai bar betayr. The kavana is, the veikis is lizdabik betayr. Is to attach yourself to learning Torah. That means your brain, your intellect, period. You just use your brain when you learn. No emotions, no heart. Zero. Just your brain. Lizdabek bilimudai. Bar betayr. Boy bakadosh baruch hu. What he's saying is, the act of learning itself is dveikus b'Hashem. When you learn Torah and you prepare yourself before you learn with Yiras Shamayim and a feeling of dveikus b'Hashem before you start learning, and tshuva before you learn, and then that's Aleph, then Beis, okay, and you start learning. And the learning, Reb Chaim says, is dveikus b'Torah, lizdabik b'Torah b'limudo, to understand what you're learning, to be mizdabik to the Blat Gemara, or to be mizdabik to whatever you're learning, to be mizdabik, to be attached to it, put all of your koiches, every ounce of energy that you have in every ounce to put into that learning, then as a result of that, you should know that you are being dovuk b'Hashem. Are you going to tell me you don't feel anything? I'm not talking about feelings of conscience. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about emotions. Do that before you sit and learn for a minute or two. I'm not talking about that. And he even allows for, every now and then, we'll see, to stop for a minute and to think for a second about something else. But that's not what the program is. The program is, prepare yourself with some thoughts of your Shemayim to make a treasure chest, a box, and then, and tshuva, confess, tshuva, me'um kedaliba, and then, you mizdabik in your limud, in your learning. The objective of learning, in your mind is one thing, to understand what you're learning. Zo. To understand what you're learning. What about Dveikus, Rabbi Chaim? What about Dveikus, Dveikus? Ubay Sidbak, what about Dveikus? Chaim Savada Dveikus. You should know that by what you're doing right now, is Dveikus B'Hashem. But I don't feel that. I don't feel any emotions now. Maybe I'm excited about understanding the Gemara. I'm thrilled with this new idea that I learned in Taisus. I'm thrilled. I feel excited about that. But as far as feeling connection to God, Rabbi Chaim says that Dveikus is the reality that you're in, not the emotion that you're feeling. That is the source of Lithuanian learning. True Lithuanian learning. Not what it's made out to be nowadays. That's the source of what it really is. Vada Dveikus. And we're going to see that it's almost exactly like we're going to find in Tanya. Almost exactly. I say almost, there's a nuance, we'll talk about it. Obviously there's something. Which the Tanya would take Torahs that were around from the Baal Shem Tov, from the first and second generation, and he would explain and teach the Chassidim what those mean. But the Yikavon is Dabik Belimuda by Bat Torah, Dveikus Bat Torah. Not like when you're doing mitzvahs. When you're doing a mitzvah, whatever that is, Tals, Tefillin, Shabbos, whatever. The mitzvah, the kavan of the mitzvah is Dveikus Bashem. Of course, to do it properly. You're not going to carry that properly. You have to know what you're doing. But the kavan of the mitzvah is Dveikus Bashem. Whatever it says in the Sfarim, he's masking, what feeling and emotion and fervor and all of that. Same, no difference to the Chassidim. But by Esek HaTorah, the person's kavanas have to be mizdabek to the Torah, not to Hashem. The Torah is the Dvar Hashem. The Torah is Hashem, kivyachal. Hashem's enclosed in the Torah. And by you pouring every ounce of energy into this piece of Torah, you are by definition connecting yourself to God. Now, don't think that that's enough, and that that's going to make you into a good Jew. That's why you have to always have Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shemaim Hi Oitzara, and Tshuva Me'umka Deliba, and Mitzvahs, Dveikus Bashem. And Reb Chaim agreed with the Chassidim. And Reb Chaim acknowledged that there was a terrible, terrible weakness in the non-Hasidic world in that respect. And he encouraged his people to strengthen themselves in their Dveikus Bashem, in the Yiras Shemaim. And in that respect, he saw Chassidus as something very positive to energize Yiddishkeit in that respect. But the Dveikus when you're learning is Dveikus Batayr, not Dveikus Bashem. Whatever Dveikus Bashem takes place is happening in the Olamas, is happening with you in the Shama, whatever it might be. But as far as what you're thinking about, you're just thinking about what the Gemara is saying. That's all. There are no other thoughts. Just to be dovek in the learning. Yichavin lezdabek b'limudu b'ay b'tera, b'ay b'akadosh baruch hu. Haim lezdabek b'kol k'ychoysel v'dvar Hashem. Listen to what he says. To be mezdabek, to be attached with all of your k'ychus. With all of your k'ychus. L'dvar Hashem, to the word of God. Which Chazal say, zu halacha. The Chassidim will say, it also says on that same Dvar Hashem, the other opinion says in the Gemara, Zun Nevuah. That's going to be a difference. Reb Chaim doesn't quote that part. Reb Chaim says, Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. That's what Yimaz Dabik. The Dvar Hashem Zu Halacha. Ubazeh, and through that, and by means of that, Hudabik Bayez Baruch Mamish Kivyachal. Don't worry. But Rabbi, I'm not feeling anything to Hashem. I don't have any, I'm not thinking about Hashem. Do that when you're doing mitzvahs. Do that before you learn. But not while you're learning. Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means L'shem HaTorah. To understand the Torah. Zohu Dovah Be'ezbarach Mamish Kivyoch. You should know, he says, that by your being with all of your kaychas, pouring all of your kaychas into what you're learning, you should know that you're attached to Hashem. Ki hu yizbarach ritzayin echad. That's the reality, because Hashem and His will, which is the Torah, it's all one. So by being attached to His will, which is Torah, and by attaching all of your kaychas to limud haTorah, to the study of Torah, you're in effect you're attached to Him. K'may shekasa b'zayir, and we'll see this in Tanya. K'may shekasa b'zayir, v'chol din v'halachim mitorah k'daisha, uritzon yizbarach. Every single din and every halacha that you're learning in Torah. Is Ratzon Hashem. Of course, the Chassidim will talk about Atzmus Hashem, is essence, the essence of God Himself, not the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God. That's going to be. We're not going to have time to go into it. That's the very beginning in Kabbalah. But he says that every din and every halach in Torah is the Ratzon Hashem. It's God's will. So you're learning something. You're learning the halachas of the basic case, the halachas of going to the bathroom. And you're talking about the most unrefined things. You're talking about, or you could be learning a sugi in the Gemara that's talking about body parts. And you're spending 2 months talking about the most unpleasant things in this world, physical things. So Dvar Hashem. And Dvar Hashem is the Ratzon Hashem is Baruch. The Torah is Ratzon Hashem is Baruch. Shekein Gozer Ritzoni Shehei Kach HaDin. Because Hashem decreed that this is the Din, this is the Halacha. And when your brain is focused on the Dvar Hashem, you dabek to Hashem. You don't feel anything in your heart. Do that other times. But that's what Hashem is Baruch wanted. Kach HaDin, kosher, apostle, you're learning the Gemara, you're learning the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Is this kosher? Is it not kosher? Tomei, the Torah, is it Tomei, is it Torah? Osa, Muta, whatever, Chayim, Zaki, guilty, innocent. The Gamim Hu Osuk B'Divrei Hagadah. It's not only when you're learning halacha. It's also a part of the program that the yeshivas forgot from Nefesh HaChayim. The Gamim Hu Osuk B'Divrei Hagadah. Even when you're learning the parts of the Gemara that are not halacha, but you're learning the pasuk Agadita, not halacha. You're learning medrash, whatever you're learning. Shein behem nafkusa l'shum din, which don't apply to any halacha. Nothing comes out l'halacha, any difference. You're learning something in Agadita, you're learning something in the Gemara, in the medrash, that's not halacha. So it doesn't come out any difference in halacha, how you understand that. But you should know gamkein, hu dovuk b'dibur shel kadosh baruch hu. That when you're learning that, you're attached to Hashem's words. You're dovuk to the dibur of Hashem. Ki ha-tayra kula, because the entire Torah, v'chlaleha ufrateha v'dikdukeha, the entire Torah, every single, in general, and every single tiny little detail, every prat and every dikduk, every tiny little thing that you think is tiny, but every tiny little prat, most complicated little detail in the in Torah, even the question that a little boy, a little student asks his rabbi, the tiniest little thing that the boy asks his rabbi, how called Yotzim Yativius Baruch L'Moshe Gesina. Everything came out of God's mouth. We spoke about this in the first part. Everything came out of God's mouth by Har Sinai. K'mashom Rabbi Sinai Zechon Levrach, Asayf Parak Beis the Megillah, Parak Kama the Brachas, Kalas Rabba, Shami Sidon Hey, Yishami, Yehika Rabba, and so on. Shmais Rabba. Ksayiv Lecha, I said Dvarim Ha'ela. Dvarim Ha'ela means everything. When Hashem is Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, write these things down, means every single thing. Everything, everything. All the details of Torah. B'shosh, Nigla, Gishbaruch, B'sinai, Lit, and Terli, Yisrael, Amal, Moshe, Al-Hasei, the Mikra, Mishnah, Allah, Chaz, Agadis, Hashem is Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu everything. Shnema, Avedab, Lekim, is Kol, Advarim Ha'ela. Afidam, Asha, Talmud, Shaila, Rav. Even in the future, what a Talmud, what a student is going to ask his Rebbe. All of that was what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. So every word of Torah that we're learning, is the fire, mamish, of the Devar Hashem that came out of Hashem's mouth. And that every word of Torah must be approached in that way, even though it seems to be some very, very specific, mundane halacha. You're learning, how to kasha the sink for Pesach, and you're talking about how to get the grime off, and you're learning the dinim of how to do this and how to do that. It's mamish the hevel piv of Hashem's book. It's the breath of Hashem's coming out of Hashem's mouth. And when you're learning, and when you're sitting and saying words of Torah, the breath of Hashem is coming out of your mouth. That's what it means. Yishakeim nishikas piu, says Nazar Kod. That's what it means when we're going to say in Shir Shim Mishnah next week. Yishakeim nishikas piu. We ask Hashem, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. We ask Hashem such a thing. Yishakeim nishikas piu. We're talking about that may Hashem help us that your breath should be in our mouth. That there should be, is dapkas rucha berucha, that my mouth should be your mouth, should be one. That the words that I say should be your words. That's what it means to learn Torah. Kissing Hashem. Hashem kissing us. That when you look, that when you're saying words of Torah, the Devar Hashem in your mouth. That's the meaning of Yishakein and Yishikos Piv. Kashem Yiten Chochma Mipiv. Kashem Yiten Chochma Mipiv Das Usvun. Mipiv Das Usvun. Kashem Yiten Chochma Mipiv Das Usvun. From his mouth. Das Usvun. Kashem Yiten Chochma Mipiv Das Usvun. From Hashem's mouth. That means that when you and I are sitting and we're saying something and learning, that's why you're supposed to say the words, not to read like you're reading, God forbid, the newspaper. When you learn Torah, you're supposed to mouth the words, not just to read them with your eyes. Everybody should mouth the words when you learn it. You don't have to say it loud, but you should pronounce the words. You can't compare the effect that it has on a person. When you open your lips and you're mouthing the words, then the breath of Hashem is stopkes ruach ruach, it's a kiss. And if the lips are shut, are closed, and you're only reading, it's not such a madrig of kissing. Besides that, there are those who even hold in halach that you're not mekayem the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you don't pronounce the words. You just read it with your eyes. You should say the words. Why? There's no other substitute in the world. Can you imagine it? Nobody would say that. No professor would get up in front of the class and say, you might say when you're doing Shakespeare, you know, you should get up in the room and you should recite it for the effect. But no subject is studied that way. No one doesn't say that, like when you have to study American history, that you should say it over. Talk in learning. Even how Jews say such a thing. Reading and learning. There's no people on earth who say such things. Only Jews talk that way. To talk in learning. Well, isn't such a... Reading and learning. Talking and learning. Such a beautiful expression. To talk in learning. No one says that. No one has things like that. It's not part of the world's vocabulary. You study something. You sit in the library. No one's supposed to be making any noise. If anybody makes noise in the library, then everybody gets angry and the librarian comes over. It's like, that's what happens in any Jewish neighborhood where the Jewish kids are in the library, so they start to schmooze. They're used to being in yeshivas. And it's always a problem. They come over and the librarian says, what do you think? Like, come on, what's going on with you? A guy walks into this marriage, never heard anything like that in his life. Is there any such place like that? They think this is a place of serious study. By the guy in a place of serious study, you could hear a pin drop. It's like a cemetery. It's even quiet in the cemetery, the Mason are talking a little bit. It's quiet in the library. Oh, you go into the university, it's quiet in the library. And when Jews sit down and they study Torah, they make a tumult, a commotion. There was the most beautiful thing someone showed me on the computer. That, you know, Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, Zechatzai Levracha, the Mir Rosh Hashiva, he was Nifta. Must be already almost a year and a half, something. It wasn't so long. Yeah, he was a fire mamish in learning. And he never got involved in any politics, anything, just learning. So there was they had somebody at a wedding. Did you see this? I watched this over 10 times. And I think back to when I had my rebbeim were like that, but it's been such a long time. Not that it doesn't go on, but to see Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. Reb Shmuel was at a chasna, and there was another Talmid Chacham, I don't remember. Oh, from Detroit, Reb Bax from Detroit. Yeah, Reb Leib Bax from Detroit. Right, so they're at a chasna. They're also very, very sharp. Reb Leib Bax, very sharp. And they're at a chasna. Did you see there were many beautiful things about that tape. They were totally oblivious to the fact someone's standing there with a camera filming this. They were talking and learning. They were talking and learning. And Reb Shmuel was saying something, and Reb Leib Bax gets up, and he couldn't sit at the table with him anymore. He starts yelling at him. They're yelling. You couldn't make out the words. He yells at him, and he gets up, and Reb Leib starts to make like this, and Reb Shmuel starts to yell at him, and there are, the whole chasn is standing around them, and they don't see anybody, they don't hear anything. They're just yelling at each other, and he's, like, you can't look at him and say, what's the matter with you? And they're fighting and learning.
You have to see this is like, this is what we saw in the yeshivas. This is what we saw in the yeshivas, Redden and Lannan. I remember once that I was, there are million stories, but I remember once that I was coming out of the Shia with my Rabbi Abdav Elushis, I was coming out of the Abdav Elushis, and Rabbi Yoshaber of Soloveitchik was walking in the hall, and there were a few people that were around Rav Soloveitchik. And guys were talking to Rav Soloveitchik, and we were learning with Rav David something, and I was walking with Rav David, and Rav David said, "Oh, here's Rav Yoshaber. Let's ask Rav Yoshaber what he thinks." So Rav David came over to Rav Yoshaber, and everybody moved over, and Rav David there is in Yiddish, you know, and Rav David starts to talk and learning Rav Yoshaber, and Rav David has third mahalach in it. And Rabbi Yoshaber starts to make faces. You had to see this. Rabbi Yoshaber says, and no one thought anything less got rid of the. And Rabbi David's arguing his point. And then Rabbi David starts, and Rabbi Yoshaber says, nein, was chet narishkeit, es narishkeit. And Rabbi David says, adrav. So you say, so Rabbi Yoshaber, what is it? So Yoshaber says, what are you asking me? I never went to yeshiva. That's what he said. I never went a day to yeshiva. You went to yeshiva. You learned in yeshiva. What did they say in yeshiva? What did you learn in yeshiva? So I'm telling you what we learned in yeshiva. So Yoshaber says, Narishka. So what is this? I never went to yeshiva. And they're fighting. And the whole yeshiva is standing around. And there's nothing else in the world. And then, of course, Yoshaber went into it. First he screamed like that. No. And then they went into it. And then everybody just stood like an awe pacha. For half hour, the two of them, in that world, there was no one else in the world. And then David was yelling at him too, and they're yelling back and forth, and at the end, the warmth, when they said good Shabbos to each other, is from another world. From another world. Then everything quieted down after the storm was finished, and they came to a certain understanding. Good Shabbos. That was reading and learning with words. The Dvar Hashem is in the mouth of a person. Yishakenim Nishikos Pir. The kisses of Hashem, Mamish, the Dvar Hashem. That was learning in Yeshiva. That's learning in Yeshiva. It's the Hevel Pir of Hashem, Mamish, the breath of Hashem. V'loy oid, elo ki gam ba'oysa ha'eis. You have the place? It says v'loy oid. Elo gam... When you're saying words of Torah, when you're uttering those words, not with your eyes just reading, when you're uttering the words, then in Shemaim, Hashem says with you the exact same words that you're saying. Because I'll say that. When you're saying those words, you're a little person sitting someplace in your house, and you're being ma'avis said, you're saying over the parasha. You're saying those words, or of the Gemara. At that instant, Hashem is Baruch is mouthing the words together with you. That's your chavrusa. He's mouthing the words like two chavrusa that sit in each one. Well, the other one's reading, but they're both saying it. The other one says it quiet. This one says it out loud. So you're saying it out loud. The Bar Yoilam is saying it quietly. At the same time. Bo'is Eis Mamish. Mamish. Bo'is Eis Mamish. Kedashkan Parakam of the Gittin, as it says, God Pelech Shbegiver. Right, the Raya for this. It's already late, but it's almost Pesach, not just Shabbos. Shabbos, almost Pesach. So we have to go on today. Right? We'll start from here, Mitzvah Shem. Not Friday. It's going to be not Yisro Chag, but the following Erev Shabbos, whatever that is. I remember the end of Nisan.